理课堂听 class.com。
Chapter 9. Mr. Verloc was gone for 10 days. When he came back, he did not seem any happier than before. He looked tired and sad. Throwing himself into a chair and dropping his bags on the floor, he said, "Here," to Stevie, who was busy cleaning the shop window. The young man immediately smiled and ran to pick up Mr. Verloc's travel bags and put them away for him. Mr. Verloc was surprised by the boy's eagerness. Hearing her husband's entrance, Winnie appeared in the kitchen doorway and, without saying hello, offered him some breakfast. Mr. Verloc, by throwing both of his hands up in the air and letting them fall, acted as though his wife were the most troublesome person in the world. However, he managed to pick himself up out of the chair and walk to the kitchen. At the dinner table, Mrs. Verloc told her husband all the news that there was to tell.
"Several of your friends came to the house while you were away. Michaelis told me that he's moving into a small house in the countryside, just outside of London, near Dover. That horrible man, Carl Yundt, came with that equally horrible woman of his. Oh, and Ossipon visited as well."
Here she stopped, speaking for a moment, and her face turned slightly red, but Mr. Verloc did not notice.
"Stevie's been very sad, although that hasn't stopped him from working around the house. He's been a great help to Mrs. Neal and me."
Mr. Verloc took his hat off, and Stevie immediately got up from his chair and hung the hat on the wall in the next room. As he was coming back, he passed Mrs. Neal, who was working hard at cleaning the floor.
"Oh!"
she cried as if in pain.
"Such hard work. You're lucky not to have to work like me. You have only yourself to worry about and feed."
Winnie, hearing this, told Mr. Verloc that Mrs. Neal had been saying such things to Stevie all week. She knew how emotional he was, and that he would always give her the money he had in his pockets any time that he heard her complain about her difficulties. Then the sound of Stevie hitting his hand against the table in the next room could be heard. He was upset because he had nothing to give the poor woman.
"Come here, Stevie,"
she called to her brother. She did not like giving the woman extra money because she knew the woman would spend it getting drunk down the street. Later that day, as Mr. Verloc announced that he was going outside to take a walk, Winnie suggested that he take her brother with him.
"He needs the air, and if he has nothing to do, he always feels terrible. I can't be comfortable with him, looking so sad all the time."
"But what if I lose him somehow?" Mr. Verloc argued.
"Oh, you don't have to worry about that. He'd never leave your side. You're such an important person in his life. He respects you more than anyone else. Besides, if he were to wander away, it would be fine, because—"
She stopped for a brief moment and then continued,
"Never mind, he'll be fine. Trust me."
Mr. Verloc was surprised by his wife's trust in Stevie to find his way back home. Perhaps the boy was more intelligent than he thought.
"All right, he can come with me," he finally agreed.
Watching the two men walking down the street together, Winnie felt happy for a moment. In her eyes, it looked as if it could be a tall, round father walking with his shorter and much thinner son. She began to feel proud of herself for having found such a good living situation for her brother. He would be safe here. Although it was not the ideal situation for herself, it was worth accepting for her brother. Over the next few days, Winnie became even more pleased to see her husband taking greater interest in Stevie. He always invited him to join him on his walks about town. And on several occasions, Winnie noticed Mr. Verloc studying the boy with his eyes. He was a different man, her husband. His moods were not as dark as before, and he no longer moved so slowly about the home. Stevie had changed a little, too. Instead of sitting sadly in the corner when he had nothing to do, he would walk about talking to himself in a rather serious voice. He seemed troubled about something. When Winnie tried asking him what was the matter, he would only stare at her with an open mouth. Mrs. Verloc then began to worry about the walks her brother was taking with her husband. She knew that Mr. Verloc almost always met one of his friends on the street and that there would be revolutionary talk. Remembering how upset Stevie had become after the last meeting in their basement, she wondered if Stevie was hearing too many violent ideas. When she mentioned this to Mr. Verloc, he did not respond right away, but took down a package from a shelf in the shop. Gently laying it on the counter, he then said, "I've got an idea. Why don't we send Stevie to stay out at Michaelis's cottage? The old man is working on a book just outside of London." Winnie liked the idea because she liked Michaelis. Carl Jung she hated. And Ossipon, well, she had nothing to say about him.
"You seem to like Stevie so much more lately," she observed.
Mr. Verloc tied a string tightly around the package and then looked up into his wife's smiling face and said, "I'll take him out there myself tomorrow morning." The next day, Stevie was happy to go with his brother-in-law, and he felt proud to carry the package that was put into his hands. He seemed almost embarrassed when his sister reminded him not to get dirty out in the countryside. He gave her a look that said, "Give me a chance to be an adult, will you?" And she, surprised and touched by this, apologized and wished him a wonderful trip. On the day of the bombing, Winnie was left alone at home much longer than usual. Mr. Verloc came home later than expected, but she did not think much of it. She did not raise her eyes from the sweater she was sewing when she heard the familiar steps of her husband come through the front door of the shop. Without once looking at him, she asked,
"Terrible day out there, yes? Did you visit Stevie today?"
"No, I didn't," her husband said quietly. Mr. Verloc walked past her and into the house, closing the door very loudly behind him. This did not trouble her either, because she was used to being treated coldly in her home. She accepted this as just being her husband's way of doing things. She still thought of him as a very good man. Putting her sewing down and going into the kitchen to take Mr. Verloc a cup of tea, she stopped in the doorway. The sound of something shaking came to her ears, and she quickly lit the lamp to see what it was. She found her husband bent over the stove, his large body shaking with cold.
"My goodness, you've caught a terrible cold. Where did you go today?"
"To the bank," he answered in a low, painful voice.
"Why the bank?"
she asked. Mr. Verloc seemed to be using all of his strength to answer her.
"Took the money out."
"All the money?"
"That's right."
Beginning to prepare the kitchen table for a meal, she continued to ask questions.
"Why did you do that?"
"We might be needing it soon."
I guess that I don't really understand,
she said, trying not to seem worried.
I'm an honest man, right? Mr. Verloc asked.
Of course. Yes, of course.
You'll have to trust me.
Thinking to herself,
I bet he hasn't eaten all day.
She pulled some meat and bread from the shelf. Then, after placing two plates on the dinner table, she began to speak again.
I would never have married you if I didn't believe you were honest.
Mr. Verloc held his face in his hands in front of the fire. He ignored his wife's suggestion that he eat. However, he sat down at the kitchen table. He looked terribly ill. His hair was going in all directions, and his face and eyes looked as though they were on fire. He did not touch the food in front of him, but threw three cups of tea down his throat, one after another.
Well, let's at least dry your feet. They must be freezing,
she suggested.
I don't care about my feet. Leave them alone, he whispered violently.
Are you going out again this evening?
Hearing this question, Mr. Verloc's eyes suddenly became wide.
Going out? Yes, in a way. That was what he was thinking of doing. I'm thinking of leaving the country. I don't know where yet. Maybe France. Maybe America, he said.
What? Are you joking?
Mrs. Verloc shouted.
I can't stand this place any longer.
You're just ill now,
she interrupted him. It was true that he did not seem his normal self at all. He remained quiet for a short time, but then he said,
We have no choice. We must leave.
How can you say such a thing? You have everything you need here. This house, the shop. Why would you want to throw all of this away?
Then, walking over to where he was sitting, she put her arms around his shoulders and kissed the top of his head, asking,
Do you want to leave me, too?
She let her lips rest on his forehead for quite a long time. At that moment, the house seemed completely quiet. The only sound that could be heard was of the gas feeding the fire in the lamp. Mr. Verloc took a strong hold of the seat of his chair until she finished with her kiss. Then he got up from his seat and walked over to the fireplace. From there, he stood watching his wife with a very sad and hopeless look. She, however, cleaned up around the kitchen without any worries.
No way. Stevie could never be taken abroad. I wouldn't allow it,
she said, changing her voice to a serious tone. And because her husband did not answer her, she found enough courage to go even further.
If you go abroad, you'll just have to go alone.
I won't do that, and you know it, Mr. Verloc answered with rare emotion.
Mrs. Verloc suddenly felt sorry about what she had said. It certainly was not true. She would have gone with him, of course. However, she disagreed so much with his plan that she felt the need to say something strong. In order to make things better, she turned to her husband and said,
That's right. You would be very unhappy without me. Admit it.
Yes, he answered,
beginning to walk toward her with his arms stretched out. It was difficult to know whether he meant to hug her or kiss her. Then the doorbell of the shop suddenly rang.
Could you see who it is, Adolf?
She asked.
I have my kitchen clothing on.
He He let his arms fall to his sides and then, without saying a word, slowly walked out of the kitchen. Mrs. Verloc then began to wash the dishes, occasionally stopping to try and hear who it was that had come in. When not a sound could be heard, she quietly began to walk toward the door of the shop. Then, Mr. Verloc came back through the door. His face was terribly white. He looked extremely troubled.
"What's wrong?"
she said, looking through the shop door and noticing that the customer was still inside.
"It seems that I'm going to have to go out tonight," Mr. Verloc answered.
Winnie then immediately entered the shop and closed the door behind her. She wanted to see whom it was that was waiting there. Her face remained calm and friendly.
"Hello, are you a foreigner?"
she asked the man. His clothing and the hair on his face made it obvious that he was not an Englishman. He only answered her with a smile.
"Do you speak English?"
she asked him.
"Yes, of course,"
he responded in slow but perfect English.
"Oh, well, don't worry. My husband will find you an excellent place to stay. The Continental Hotel is quite nice."
"That would be lovely,"
he said, suddenly looking a little more serious.
"Have you known my husband a long time? Did you perhaps meet in France?"
"I have only heard his name before."
A look of worry then came over the man.
"Is it possible that he might have gone out another door to meet me outside?"
"Oh, no. This is the only door to our home. Just a moment. I'll see what he's doing."
Winnie went back into her home and closed the door behind her. Her husband was still standing where she had left him. His eyes were staring at the ground.
"Who is that man?"
she asked.
"I've only heard his name before," he said, lifting his eyes to meet hers for a moment. "This is my first time meeting him."
"Is he from the embassy?"
Mr. Verloc's eyes suddenly became wide with surprise.
"What do you mean? Who told you about the embassy?"
"No one. You've been talking in your sleep lately."
"Talking in my sleep?" he whispered loudly. "What did you hear?"
"I couldn't really understand. It all sounded kind of silly, really. It didn't make much sense."
Mr. Verloc's face turned bright red. He walked about the room talking to himself in a quiet but angry whisper.
"I'd love to kill all of those damned embassy people. All of them. If I can't kill them, I can surely use what I know against them."